Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast, where we interview runners of all stages in their running career about their first marathon experiences to prove that anyone can run a marathon. My name is Taylor, and today we interview a runner who I actually had the pleasure of being on his podcast a couple months ago called Ordinary to Ultra. We break down how he got into running in the first place and how he had the goal right away to run farther, not faster. And from there, what ultimately led to running his first marathon and ultra marathon in the same year. Without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let him speak for himself. So let's jump right in. Please welcome Brendan. Brendan, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. How's your weekend going so far?
It's super good. Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for having me. Super excited to chat again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. If before we get started, I've actually been on Brendan's podcast, Ordinary to Ultra. So definitely go check out my episode and all of his other episodes over there. But excited to break down your side of the story today. You've got some races that are pretty fresh on your mind. One from earlier this year in January, and then you've got your most recent race, your ultra marathon about a week ago. So excited to break down your race experiences.
Yeah,
let's start from the top. How'd you get involved in this world in the first place?
Yeah, Taylor. So, yeah, everyone starts for different reasons, and I think it's really interesting. That's why I started my own podcast similar to this. But my story started, I started running because I just needed to get out more. Since COVID, there's a lot of inside time. I work remote, so I'm like inside my house all the time, and I can feel cooped up. And given that it was winter at the time, I was like extra cooped up. It's winter and I work at home, so I'm inside all day. I was like, I need to get outside, even though it's winter. So it's like January of 2023 and I start running outside in the coldness of Hiram, Utah. It's like 17 degrees in the morning, Fahrenheit.
Jeez.
Like, pretty cold. There's worse places, like maybe Minnesota, I don't know, but it's pretty cold. So, but I just needed to get outside. So actually I ended up running at lunchtime, so it was like 30 degrees, which is pretty good. And just ran like 30 minutes, ran like a mile. Just to like get outside. And also I was hoping to maybe lose some weight, had some kids and putting on the dad bod, you might say, had a little belly sticking.
Sure.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe I can lose that and get outside. So that's sort of why I started and about when I started too.
Okay, great. So got into it in early 2023. And then when you got started, you said you had some like fitness goals, some weight loss goals, maybe. Were you even thinking about races at that point? Or were you just thinking, I just want to get outside and start moving?
Yeah, great question. No, I had no races on my mind. I was like, I'm just doing this to get outside and lose some weight. And I had run in the past, like off and on, but never for a long time. I won't even get into that history. It'd be like, I'd run for a month, maybe 2 months, and then run like a few miles, and then I'd just give up the habit, and it just didn't stick in the past. But it stuck this time, and what's really cool is part of the reason I think it stuck was I needed to get outside, so it felt good to get outside, but running kind of stinks at the beginning, like, other people listening to this right now probably getting into it, and it kind of stinks at the beginning, and it hurts, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And it takes some time to get used to it, to get your body used to it. So what got me through that was I would listen to audiobooks when I would go running, and I loved that. Like, I loved being able to unplug from work for a half hour, during lunch, and listen to like one of my favorite fantasy books while I was running. In fact, when I'm outside in the winter, whenever I run in the winter now and I'm like running, I think of the book. Like, I'll remember parts of the book. Like, I'll remember a part of the book I was on when I ran at a certain place. And it's like, whoa, that was a weird memories. But I just loved unplugging and getting into the world of the fantasy books I was listening to. So it was like, it felt good to get outside and move It was a little hard at first, but I just loved the book. So that really kept me going for the first bit. And I think that winter I probably got up to running like 3 miles. I was like running 3 miles twice a week regularly. After maybe like the first month, I was probably doing 1 mile, then maybe month two or three, I was doing more 3 mile runs. And that was sort of my regular a little bit. One day I was like, I wonder if I could run 5 miles. So I like went out and it was probably getting to the end of winter and I ran 5 miles and I was like, wow, that was a long ways. I was like, I think there's some races around here. And I was like, I wonder how far I could go. And I found this 15K, which is 9 miles, a little over 9 miles, local. That was like down, a local canyon called Blacksmith Fork Canyon. Like, I should sign up for that. I bet I could do that. But still unknown because 9 miles is like twice as many as five. So there's still some like hesitance and like fear maybe, but it's like I could probably
Sure.
do that. So yeah, that was the first race that I signed up for.
So steady kind of moving up in mileage. And at that point, if you remember, like how was your body feeling? Because I feel like at first when we start to train for our first race and we start to really put intention behind building mileage, sometimes our bodies can be like, whoa, what are we doing here? So how were you feeling at that point?
You know what? Thanks for asking that because, like I said, the beginning was really hard. But I added the mileage pretty gradually, and I don't remember there being like really hard moments once I started running like those longer miles, which is awesome. And I think part of what made a huge difference was when I started running, I didn't have running shoes. And then in that winter time, so when I was just running outside in the winter, I ended up getting some Gore-Tex Hokas that changed my life because the moment I put those suckers on, I could run like 2 more miles without getting pain. Because I failed to mention that I only ran a few miles at the beginning because I got some pretty serious ankle pain, like tendonitis sort of stuff. So it wasn't the ankle joint itself, but there was like the tendons around it would get really inflamed, from like the impact of like hitting the ground over and over again. It would be like after a mile, it would hurt. It would hurt. And then if I learned later, if I kept running, the tendonitis would kind of go away, but it's because I didn't warm up and my body wasn't used to running this much, right? So it hurt so bad. But the minute I got those shoes, I could run longer without that tendonitis flaring up because the Hokas got some like serious cushion in them. And so they help out with that tendonitis. And I've had some like more minor knee pain as well. So highly recommend anyone listening, you know, you're starting to run, like get some real running shoes. I don't care what brand, but like the cushy ones really helped with my inflamed ankles and stuff. And I remember one day, I wanted to know, like for some reason, I wanted to know that I could run 9 miles. I didn't want it to be like a chance thing, like race day. I'm like, okay, let's see if I can do this. I was like, I want to know that I can run 9 miles before I do this. So I had my wife drop me off up the canyon where I was gonna run, and I was like, I'm just gonna run home. So I ran from some point in that canyon all the way to my house. So it wasn't the exact route that I'd be running, but it was like half of that route and then to my house. And it was 9 miles, because I plotted it out on my GPS on like Google Maps. And I did that and it was hard. It was really hard. But I did it and I was like, boom, I can do this. And, I think that took maybe some of the joy out of running the 15K race because I was like, oh, I know I can do this now. So like no big deal. But it did feel good though, knowing that I could do it.
Yeah, it is funny. It's like would you say it was more of a mental thing that to run the 9 miles than a physical thing? Like you just wanted mentally to know
Totally.
that you could get through.
Yeah, and I I didn't know if I could do it. Yeah, so it was all like mental. It's like physically, I could probably do it, but I wasn't thinking that. I was just thinking, man, that's a long ways. I just want to know that I can do it because I think my
Yeah.
longest long run before that was like 6 or 7 miles. I was like, another 2 miles? I don't know. Just, that seemed big at the time, so I was like, I just want to do it. So,
Yeah.
yeah. But the actual race, it's like all downhill, so that's really helpful. And I was thinking I was going to finish this in 1 hour and 40. I remember. I was like, I'm probably going to do this in 1 hour and 40. It's probably going to be like 10 minute miles downhill, so kind of fast, but not like super fast for me. And then race day came, and I figured out a neighbor of mine had signed up for the same race. So we met up when we were at the starting line, and we're like, I don't know, we didn't say we were going to run together, but we ended up running together, and we started out pretty dang fast, like 8 minute miles. And we ended up keeping like 8 minute 30 miles the entire way, the entire 9 miles. And I just didn't even know I was capable of that because I was comfortable running like 10 minute miles, 9 minute, 10 minute miles. But we pushed it at 8:30, and I did it the entire time, and it blew my mind because I finished in 1 hour and 20. I was like, holy cow, I
Yeah.
finished 20 minutes faster than I thought. Like, dang. So that was a really cool moment. Like, man, I can do hard things.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a confidence boost for sure. And that's what's funny about running is you do like you have to prove it to yourself along the way. A lot of it is just doing it and then going, "Oh, shoot, I can do that," you know? It's hard to wrap your mind around it until you've actually been in your own shoes and done it. So, but I'm sure that was a big confidence boost for you. And then from there, were you thinking I'm gonna go for a half marathon, or what was kind of in your head after that race?
Exactly. As all
Yeah.
anyone who's on here, especially if you've ran races before, it's like, oh, I did that. Okay, what's the next one? So yeah, immediately I was like, okay, I am gonna do a half marathon. Like, that's only 4 more miles. We can totally do that. So that was July that I ran the 15K. So I was already trained up. I was like, okay, I found a half marathon. There's a trail half marathon in Park City, and it was just a month away. I was like, I'm gonna do that because I'm already trained up. So let's do it. I think this is when I started to like enjoy running for running too. It was like, man, like, you go out, you run a pretty good distance pretty fast, and it just feels good. So I'd gotten past the pain stage of the beginning, and then it was just kind of enjoyable, which is really awesome. But yeah, to with the marathon, the half marathon, yeah, I was running like 6 miles and then another 6 miles, and I made some loops, some road loops around my neighborhood that were like exactly that distance, and that was really sweet. So, and they're really enjoyable runs. Like, Highland's really pretty, so you see all the farmlands and the mountains in the distance. It's pretty fun. But and then my long runs, I just kind of upped those long runs again on the weekends. So like 7 miles, 8 miles, 9 miles. I didn't know I could run 9 miles. I think my longest run for the half was probably like 10 miles. But I was putting in some pretty good miles during the week. Like 6, 6, 10 was my 6 miles, and that's
Yeah.
twice as much as a half. So by how much weekly mileage I'm putting in, I'm like, yeah, I can probably run this half. And I don't want to run the half before I do the half, because the last time I did that, it kind of killed the fun. So
Yeah, took away from it.
yeah.
Cool. So you're building up miles, mileage. Yeah, that's a good spot to be for a half marathon. It's being around 26 miles a week, so that's great. And then were you like seeking out any sort of resources for training at that point, or were you kind of just like you said, building, adding mileage every weekend?
Yeah, that's a great point too. For training, I looked up like some training plans to like get an idea of what other people are doing. I know we talked about Hal Higdon, and you probably talked about that in other episodes, but I looked at the Hal Higdon training plans
Yeah.
And just kind of like had them in my head, maybe saved them on my phone so I could check them out. And then, but I pretty loosely followed those. I was like, okay, this is generally how many miles I need to be putting in. Maybe he had me running 4 days a week, but I really liked the 3 days, so I just kept running 3 days a week and just kept up in the long runs. So I kind of made it my own. I got an idea of what I needed to do, and I just made my own thing. And yeah, that worked out.
And then first half marathon experience rolls around. Were you feeling nervous leading up to it, or because you had been doing so much work ahead of time, were you feeling pretty prepared? How were you feeling leading up to the race day?
Yeah, I felt because after doing the 9 miler, it really built my confidence. I was feeling pretty confident for the half marathon. And I should also say, like, I'm not doing anything for hydration, really, or like anything special for hydration and like nutrition at this time. Like even in the half marathon, I remember having like a Clif Bar before, and I've had a handheld water, I think, for the half marathon, like a handheld water bottle, with no electrolytes in it. It's just water. And I went out and I ran the half marathon. Well, it was a trail half marathon, so there was 1,000 feet of elevation gain on the
Wow.
half. So that was different. I hadn't really run trail either to prepare. I had only really run road, but I was like, I'll do this. And my shoes were are hybrid shoes. They're like for trail and road. So I was like, yeah, we're ready for this. I do remember this. At mile 12, I was like really dehydrated feeling and tired. But I just kept going. Obviously, and finished it. And then I learned about like proper nutrition and hydration, which I think is common for people. Like you get kicked once and you're like, oh, I really need to figure this out so I don't
Yeah.
die next time.
Yeah, and I think the half marathon's like the last distance that you can get away with not being on your nutrition game. Because yeah, you can really power through one, but anything over 13 is it's gonna get tough. So then from there you ran your half marathon. Is that when you started looking into, okay, let's keep this going and let me look up a marathon that I can run, or were you thinking you were gonna perfect the half marathon, I guess, from there?
Oh yeah, good question. No, immediately I wanted to do a marathon or longer.
Yeah,
I
love
was like,
it.
for me, I know for everyone it's different. I have no interest currently, maybe it'll change someday. I have no interest in speed work and getting faster at any one distance. I just want to see how far I can go. And so I'm more of like a distance person. Like I wanna push how far I can go, not how fast I can go at any specific pace. So immediately I wanted to run farther. And actually, I had decided at that point that I was going, like after that race, that I was going to run a 50K. And I nailed down a 50K that I wanted to run, and I didn't sign up for it because it wasn't open yet. But I knew I was gonna run 50K because I really enjoyed that trail run. And I was like, I want to do like something about ultra marathon, just like sounded cool. I was like, I want to do that. But then after I had like gone through that mode and was like, I'm gonna do that, I was like, you know, it'd probably be smart that I ran a marathon before I run a 50K
Sure.
because this is a huge distance jump. And I don't want to like miss that step. Like, you know, some people are like, you could go from a half to a 50K, sure. But I didn't feel like I was in a rush to like get there and do the ultra. I was like, I want to take my time and like experience these natural progression steps. So I was like, I'm gonna do
Yeah.
the marathon first. So I went out looking for a marathon that I could do before the 50K. I knew the 50K was going to be in 2024. It just felt like I needed some time, but I wanted the marathon. I wanted something to work towards that was soon, like in the near future. So I signed up for a marathon that was in January of 2024. So from there's a gap of training between August and January for that.
Okay,
Yeah.
cool. So gave yourself plenty of time then, it sounds like, to train for the marathon. Were you planning on following at that point like an 18-week, 20-week? Like, did you have in mind what the duration of your training would look like for that January marathon?
No. I'm like totally a build it myself kind of guy. So I pretty
Yeah.
much, and I have some feelings about it now. I've been training for like a year straight. Like I have been running consistently and been in a training block for quite a while. Which is exhausting. And I maybe wouldn't recommend that. I would recommend there being breaks. But no, I went straight from the half marathon to training for a marathon through fall and winter.
Yeah.
When maybe most people would be like fall is like marathon time, but like winter is usually like take it easy, do some other stuff time. But I just trained, and I was still enjoying it at that time, I will say. Like I didn't feel burned out. I kept doing the 6 mile like run, and I stuck to road still at this time. So I was doing my road 6 mile loop twice a week, and then I just kept upping that long run. So my long run more regularly was like a half marathon. I found a large loop that was 14 miles that, was like a big loop around my entire city, and that I started doing. Just found ways to like extend that out. So my regular 14 route, I'd like do that, and then I'd be like, okay, I'm gonna do an extra loop this way to add an extra mile on. So then it was like 15 miles the next week, and then 16 miles. So my longest run was 18 miles, I believe. I wish it would have been longer, but I did an 18 miler and it was painful. I distinctly remember doing an 18 mile run and it was so long. I'm like running on these long roads, that are often in straight lines, and I'm just running forever. And I remember being in some like knee pain, I think, in that 18 miler. And I was like, dang, this is hard. I don't know if I want to go longer than that. I might need to like take it easy, leading up to the marathon. So think I peaked at 18 miles, and then I kind of did a, yeah, lowered it after that. And then the marathon happened.
So yeah, walk us through the marathon experience for you.
I will. Yeah. So what was fun about the marathon is that it was in St. George, Utah, so we had to travel to do it. I'm in Logan-ish area, Utah, Hiram, Utah, which is at the very top, like by Idaho, and then St. George is like at the bottom by Nevada, Las Vegas and stuff. So St. George, we drive all the way down for that, and we were there for a week with some friends. We like had some fun. I did some like trail runs that week, that were really fun. Like Red Rock. Like,
Oh,
I don't know
cool.
if y'all have done like Zions or Arches, anyone listening
Yeah.
here, but the national parks down in Southern Utah are super cool, Red Rock sort of areas. And it was super cool just checking it out and having some fun trail running for my last couple runs before the marathon. But so I had a good time, and then the night before, I remember my friends all like playing games, and I was like getting ready, getting my clothes ready and my bibs ready. I got my bib that day at the running store where they had set up, and I had all my nutrition set up. On that note, I had planned to take, I had a running vest for this. I just wanted to, I mean, You can do it however you want. Some people don't run with anything and they take whatever they get at the aid station. Some people have the bottle. I wanted to have like extra water. Just I felt more prepared, like having
Sure.
the extra water on the front of my vest. So I filled both of those up with liquid IV, 500 milligrams of sodium in each, and like 11 grams of sugar, I think. So good for energy and for electrolyte. I had a Powerade to drink before the race, to get that early sodium in and electrolytes, and I had enough gels to have one like every half hour. And that was the plan. I was like, they say you take these every like half hour to an hour, maybe 45 minutes, and they'll keep you energized throughout. I was like, okay. And my gels have, I don't know how much sugars in them, but they also have 20 milligrams of caffeine, which I have found to be helpful personally.
Yeah.
Yeah, something about the caffeine, it hits and like things are less painful for some reason.
It gives you a little boost, maybe.
So I had all that dialed in and I had it all laid out, and I had bought some gear for this, so had some new road running Focas that I had broken in. I brought them during training, and so they weren't brand new. I also bought my first running watch. I got a Garmin Fenix, so that was fun. I gotta be a nerd because runners get nerdy about watches sometimes. And
Absolutely.
absolutely. So that was all dialed in, laid out, and it was like 8 o'clock when I wanted to go to sleep. And I would needed to be up at like 4 the next morning to get to the bus that was going to take me to the starting line. And I think the bus left at 4:30. Yeah. So I was trying to go to bed and everyone was like having fun outside, and I was not sleeping great. It was just hard to go to sleep because you get the dumb race jitters and whatever, and it's just hard to go to sleep, and that's how it is every time. So you just got to plan for that.
For sure.
I've heard the night before, like 2 nights before, is more important than the night before, and
Yeah.
after having run my 50K, I found that to be true. Because I did that and it worked. But didn't really, I mean, I slept pretty good the night before too, so that worked out. So I wake up at 4, I get all my crap on. I should say, yeah, this is a January race, right? January 27th, I think it was. So, but this is in southern Utah. Northern Utah, it's like snowy and freaking cold right now. Southern Utah, in the morning, it was like 30 degrees, and it was going to get up to like 50, maybe 60 by midday. So pretty dang cold in the morning, pretty cold, and then it was going to get like pretty perfect later. Those like 50s for running is awesome.
Yeah, that's perfect.
So it's pretty cold in the morning. I got on the bus at 4:30. We got to the race start at like 5, and we had to stand there for an hour in 30-degree weather, and there were like 3 trash cans with fire in them,
Oh,
but not
jeez.
nearly enough for how many people were there.
Right.
It was cold. So a lot of people were like jogging, like trying to be warm. And I was just sitting by a fire trying to be warm. Anyway, so that hour was kind of gnarly. I wish it was more like a half hour. But yeah, the race starts, and I had drank all that stuff and I was ready to go. And I had some food and I don't remember what I ate. Probably a Clif Bar. And got going. So I knew that I wanted to like take it kind of easy at first and warm up. If I don't warm up, then I get that tendonitis that I talked about. My ankles will like really hurt if I go out hard. So I was doing like 10 minute miles for the first mile or two to like warm up. And that was really good. That went really well. I should also say that my goal for this marathon was definitely to complete it, but I was like, I could probably do a 4-hour marathon. So I'm gonna
Okay,
try
so that was the
to,
goal.
yeah, it was like a loose, like, I want to finish, and that's really the
Yeah.
goal. But like, it would be cool if I ran a 4-hour marathon. So that was like the loose time goal that I felt comfortable setting. So we started out at like the 10-minute miles, and then I knew I needed to be running pretty much 9-minute miles to get a 4-hour marathon, maybe even a little faster considering breaks. But I didn't consider that actually, so that was an issue with my plan. I should
Sure.
have planned for aid station breaks, and potty breaks and whatever, but I didn't. So I go out though, we're probably at mile 2. There's this huge hill. It was like a mile long hill, and it was pretty steep. So I was like trucking down this hill. I was like, we're gonna get some time back here. And I got like 7:30 on that mile, maybe. Mile 13 is a weird moment when you're running a marathon because you are halfway there. And that is a sad moment and a happy moment because
Yeah.
you're tired. I remember being just under 2 hours, probably like 1 hour 58 minutes or something at that point. So I was like, dang, I could probably run four. Like I was kind of on track for my 4-hour marathon, which was really exciting. But I was like, I have another 13 miles. I don't, it wasn't really a wall, but it was like a mental note. I was like, dang, we gotta keep going. So
Yeah.
I was pretty consistently keeping these 9-minute miles, which is sweet. This was a downhill course, so this isn't like super impressive. It was helpful that it was downhill. It was easier to keep the 9-minute pace. But just kept going and kept going. The canyon kind of opens up around mile 18, and you start getting into like the town where it ends. And it was harder at this time too because it was getting warmer. My jacket's off at this point and in my bag. I took it off after like mile 2, by the way, so it didn't last long, but it helped while it was cold.
Sure.
Yeah, so it's getting warmer, but I think I've drank 2 entire liquid IVs at this point, and I'm filled up with my second 2, and I'm not feeling crampy. I'm feeling like pretty solid, keeping my pace at mile 18 or whatever. But opens up and it's hotter, and you can kind of see longer, and that's kind of hard because you're like, dang, I can see that the city is way out there, and that's kind of like far away. That's 8 miles away. Whew. But keep going. Mile 20. Between mile 20 and 22, there was a hill. It was like the only hill on the course, and I remember it just being the worst thing ever. I ran pretty fast this entire
Yeah.
race, and then this hill comes, and I'm like, I am hurting a little bit. I need to slow down, but I kept jogging. I don't know. It was like in my head, I was like, I'm not walking this hill. I probably ran like an 11-minute mile up that hill, like a slow jog. But that hill sucked. Boo hill. And then downhill again. By the way, I had kept eating my gels every 45 minutes, I think.
Okay,
So
yeah.
I kept to that strategy, and that was helpful. I felt pretty energized throughout. So it was probably mile 20, 22. Yeah, so maybe 20 for the hill, 22 where you finally get to the town. And at about mile 22, you're really close to the finish line. It's like the neighborhood next over. But the race direction takes you like a different direction away, and then loops back to the finish line. That was a rough mental moment too.
Absolutely,
Like,
yeah.
I am really close to this thing, but I have another 4 miles that I have to keep this pace for. I will say, if I didn't have a pace, that probably would have been easier. Like, oh yeah, we're getting close. I'll just keep jaunting. But it's like, I gotta keep going at my dang pace to get my goal. So I have to keep pushing, which was hard. I remember slowing at this point because it was up a gradual hill, not as steep as the other one, but it was like a gradual up incline into the town. So I was running more like 10 minute 30 miles for these last few. I like tried, and I just didn't have it in me to push harder at that point. I've already run 22 miles. I'm getting to where I'm hurting, like maybe a little crampy in the legs, and just having pain. Yeah, like knee pain and stuff from running so long. A cool moment is that I passed my buddy who was running a 10K, and the 10K happened on that same route. So I gave him a high five, and that was sort of a
Oh,
boost.
cool.
Yeah, so that was cool. But so I ran up and got to that loop part, and coming back down, then it was downhill a little bit, and I was just keeping the same like 10 minute pace. Yeah, came up on the finish line, and I couldn't. I maybe tried to push. Maybe I felt like I was running faster towards the finish line, but I don't think I was. And I passed the finish line. I knew that I had already hit 4 hours, probably at like mile 20. Well, it was in the middle of that last mile that I hit 4 hours on my watch, and I saw it. I was like, dang it. But I just kept going, and then past the finish line, I ended up getting like 4 hours and 5 minutes.
Pretty close.
Yes. And so when that happened, I actually felt really good about it. I was like, dang, this is my first marathon. I finished the marathon, and I pretty much got like a 4 hour marathon. I missed it by 5 minutes, but like, I was pleased. I was like, dang. That was really close to my goal, and I was pretty much my goal. I was very satisfied with that. I will say I was exhausted when I passed the finish line, and I immediately sat, like I went somewhere and sat down, and I wasn't even feeling like any joy really, at the moment. I was just like, I am in so much pain, and I am tired, and I want to sit down. So that joyous feeling didn't really hit. And I don't know that it ever hit like a hard, like, wow, I'm so proud of myself, tears streaming down my face. It didn't hit like that for me, but I did, after I'd like gotten a hold of myself after a few minutes, realizing that I'd finished a marathon really close to my goal time, I like just a feeling of status, like self-satisfaction and, pride for having done something that was really hard. Yeah, and close to goal.
Absolutely. Cool. So first marathon experience. I mean, lots of ups and downs as every first marathon had, but you did it and you were pretty close to your goal, I think that's something to be proud of for sure. But you were just thinking of this marathon as a stepping point, right? Which I think is a little unique. This was a stepping point on your journey to this ultra marathon that you just ran. So was that thought crossing your mind at all? Like after the marathon, after you crossed the finish line, you kind of settled in and everything, were you like, all right, box checked, on to the next.
The marathon was really hard, and so it felt like it was a big step. It didn't feel like that. It felt like because it was such a big step that it deserved to be like that. I deserved to be satisfied with that.
Absolutely. So yeah, I agree. I think a marathon, while it is a step along the journey of getting to an ultra, it's a big deal, especially your first one. It's a big deal, and getting through it mentally, physically is something that you kind of, do it justice, the training that you went through and really get to sit in it. So that's great. And then how did we kind of progress from marathon to training for ultra from there?
I kept it pretty chill after that. I was in pain from the marathon. I felt in pain for probably like a week. I don't think I ran for a week. I was really feeling it for a week, and then after that, because it was winter, I just was doing some chill running, like just running twice a week during the winter. And that kept my base. That was the idea of it. Like, I want to keep a base of being able to do 12 miles a week and do 6 mile runs easily. But I don't want to push it on the weekends because I like to ski. So I sort of did have some respite, some time for rest, and kind of chilled for a little bit because my ultra marathon was in August. So there was a big gap here. Which in retrospect, I wish I had made it closer because then I wouldn't have had to have such a gap in between when I was like primed and ready to run an ultra marathon and have the actual event, The marathon was so cool because that was a jump from a half marathon. Like 13 miles to 26 miles is a matter of doubling, which is massive. So that's why that felt really good. That's what I forgot that I was gonna say. And that's why it felt so satisfying. And the other thing is, I ran 26 miles and a 50K and ultra marathon. Like that's you typically a first ultra marathon, like a lower distance ultra marathon. 31 miles, that's only 5 more miles. So when I had ran the marathon, it was an incredible boost of confidence. I doubled the amount of miles I can do, and I could definitely do 5 more miles. It was almost like there was no question in my mind that I could run a 50K. And honestly, after having run the marathon, there is no question in my mind that I could run any distance. I could run 100 miles if I wanted to. You just gotta put in the training. Like, at the beginning, you just don't have that confidence because you haven't done it enough and you haven't proven it to yourself enough. But I have done that now. I have proven to myself that I can train and run certain distances. I know how to do it. So I feel 100% confident that I could run any distance, which is really cool because I didn't feel that way before and I do now. And it's a cool place to be. Not to say that I will run 100 miles. I don't know that I ever will. That's kind of crazy. Anyway. Yeah, the 50K, I'll say, I know we're getting late here. What changed? I actually put in very similar mileage for the 50K as I did for the marathon. I ran like 6, 7 miles twice in the middle of the week. I switched to trail though, and I love trail running. Like, I will choose trail over road if I can. I love the nature, the connection with nature. And I get in a zone that's just kind of different. Like you have to focus more, I feel like, when you trail run because you're like trying to not trip on rocks and roots and stuff. So you like get in this focus mode. I don't know. I love it. But so I did more trail, and then my long runs were always on trail too. And so that was a difference. I'm running on trail more, and with that elevation gain. So I was putting in at peak training like 5,000 feet of elevation gain a week, which is overkill, I think, for what I did. My race only had 3,000 feet of elevation gain total, a little more than that. But I did that because I wanted to make sure that I felt strong and having to carry more too, because when you road running, I don't know, dare I say, like I can run faster on the road than I can on the trail at a given effort level. Like if I'm on the road, I can run 9-minute miles pretty comfortably, but if I'm on the trail, 9-minute miles is fast. 10-minute miles is like more comfortable. So that's an interesting thing. And I carry more water and nutrition when I'm on the trails typically. And you have to be more careful sometimes because if you're like out in the boonies and you get injured, it's more a big deal than if you were on the road and could get picked up.
For
But
sure.
Training for the 50K was just so fun, though. I will say, like, I planned my own trail routes here at Higher Utah. We got some mountains like 10 minutes away, so I'd like, doing long runs, I'm like doing one trail, but this can trail connects to this trail, so I'm like making my own trail routes, connecting several hiking trails together into one mega trail. Is like
That's
really
cool.
fun, because usually when you go hiking, it's like, yeah, you do one trail, it's like 4 miles long, maybe 8 miles long is a long one. But now I'm doing like, I need to do 15 miles on the trail, so I gotta like create some mega loop trail somewhere. And so that was kind of fun, like making my own routes and adventuring. But yeah, I put in very similar mileage. Peak mileage was like 20, was probably 30 miles. My longest long run was 20 miles for this 50K, and it was actually more of a hike. I went with some friends and did a hike in the Tetons, and we did it all day. But I got the miles in, and I felt like that was what was most important. And the time on my feet, it was like 12 hours on my feet. So the goal for the 50K was to finish it. I had no time goal at all for this one. The marathon, I had a loose time goal. I didn't have anything for this one. I had a time that I thought I'd probably finish, but I was like, that's not a goal though. It's just like, it was just like parents and people who want to be there for me, be here around here, because this is when I think I'll finish.
That makes
But it
sense.
wasn't a, yeah, but it wasn't a goal. It was just like for planning purposes. I thought I would finish, let's see, in like 6 hours. And what's fun about this race is it runs from Deer Valley Ski Resort to Park City Ski Resort, where the Olympic jumping happens. So like the huge
Oh,
jumps
cool.
is where it ended. Yeah. So the whole race was just kind of like across the ski resorts. No major up a mountain. It was just kind of like up and down across the mountains. That was kind of cool.
That is, yeah.
Cool route. So it started at 6. This it was pretty dark, but the sun had just started, like the like horizon just started to like get a little red when it started. And it started with a crazy uphill. It's like the worst uphill of the entire race was at the very beginning. So everyone, we're all starting out like peppy, and then everyone's like walking up this weird hill at the very beginning. And then there's a huge downhill of like 1,000 feet at the very beginning. It was probably like mile one that this big downhill happens for 2 miles. And so we're all just trucking down this mountain. And then I didn't know how this would look, but then you go back up what you just went down. So it was like then it was like 1,000 feet up in 2 miles. And that sucked. Because I wanted to keep, you just start and you kind of want to keep a good pace. You're feeling fresh, you can go fast. But so I did. I was doing like 12-minute miles up the mountain, and it was too fast. I felt it too at the towards the end of that uphill. I was like, I am going too hard. I have to go so many more miles. I need to take it easy. So I like tried to take it easy and let people pass me, which kind of hurts, but you gotta do it because it's just, you're racing yourself. Even though sometimes you feel like you're racing people, just know you're racing yourself. So I toned it down, and then I remember though getting to mile 16, 15 or 16, and just feeling wasted. I would call this a wall. I don't feel like I hit a hard wall in my marathon. I was able to keep my pace and like keep going. Like, I don't know what it was about that, but the 50K, I hit mile 16, and I think it's because I gassed myself out at the beginning. But I hit 16, and I was like, I have to do another 15 miles. Like, I have to double what I just did, which that sounded terrible, and I was feeling it too. Like around my knees, my thighs were like cramping up a little bit. and we're just kind of in pain. So it was like there was a mental wall here and a physical wall where I was like, oh, but I just kept going. And I will say for this 50K too, I had to do some walking breaks. I did quite a few walking breaks, honestly. I just couldn't keep it up. And that's okay. And that's especially okay in an ultra marathon. I don't think you'll find that much in marathon culture. You'll probably like keep a certain pace as much as you can. But in ultra marathon culture, it's quite normal to take, and planning it's just normal, maybe more normal to take walking breaks, but like up a hill, you'll maybe walk it. And then on the downhill, you start running again and stuff like that. But
Sure.
anyway, that was a wall, but I kept going. And then mile 20, between 16 and 20 was also hard because I ran out of water. I filled up
Oh
at
no.
every aid station, so I was full, but that gap, I was just really thirsty, and I drank through both my sodium and my water, and I was like, where is the next aid station? And the guy said it was 2 miles away, and it wasn't. It was 4 miles away. So
Oh, geez.
dang it, aid station guy, you gotta know your crap. I was actually kind of, I will say, I was unimpressed at how, I mean, I think a lot of them were last second volunteers, and I appreciate them, but they didn't know the course, and that was not helpful. And maybe I should have known it better. But yeah, I was expecting a quicker aid station than actually happened. So I was kind of parched and dying for a little bit, and then I got to 20 and was like, oh, thank you. And I like drank two flasks of water immediately and and then filled up again for when I'd be on my way. And I ate a sandwich. It was like one of those Uncrustable sandwiches. And it was amazing. It was the best thing ever. Yeah. And I drank some Coke. And that was the longest time I spent at an aid station, but I needed that so much. It was like the aid station that saved my
Yeah.
life.
Revive you a little bit.
Yes. And then there were a few cutoffs on this course. There was 1 mile, like six, the first aid station. So that was also part of the feeling of why I felt like I needed to go fast at the beginning. So there was some reason to it, but I probably still went too hard. And then the last cutoff was at mile 22. So when I got to the last cutoff, I remember being there, and it was an hour and a half before the cutoff, and I was like, yes, let's go. And that was the best feeling because cutoffs suck because they make you feel like you have to rush. But once you pass the cutoffs, you're free. Like I could literally go any freaking pace I wanted at that point, and I was going to finish.
That makes
So
sense,
that,
yeah.
yeah, so that felt so good. So, I kind of got a second wind at this point and felt like I could kind of like mentally I was doing better. I got to mile 26, and that was the best feeling, like the next best feeling, because at that point I knew everything past that I was setting a new PR, which like
Yeah, that's a good feeling.
mentally that was like, wow, I am going farther than I've ever gone before. This is sweet. It's like every
Yeah.
mile marker, I'm like, yeah, 27 miles. And I got some ibuprofen at mile 26 from a random dude who I will laud in this episode. That guy saved my life because my knees were cramping up and hurting, and but after that ibuprofen, I was feeling really good in like a half hour. I could hear the crowd. So I hit 31 miles, and then I could hear the crowd because 30 or 50K is like 31.1. And that was cool. And then there was this last uphill, and I remember seeing some people walking it, and I was like, no way, Jose. So I charge up this mountain, keeping my pace, or up this hill, sorry. And that felt good. I was like, we're gonna finish strong. And then I we got out into the open where the finish was, and the arch had been taken down. So I actually was like running. I was running, and then they were like, "The finish line's over here," and I was like, "What?" And then I saw where they were meeting because they took the arch down to that is the finish line arch, because it was windy and raining. So they took it down, and the timer was down too. So I didn't know what
Right.
time it was, but I was like, "Oh, okay." So then I sped over there and ran across the finish line, and my parents were there. So that was cool. And it was 7 hours. It was like just, it was 7 hours and 10 minutes, I think, that I finished it. So it ended up being an hour later than I thought. But it was so long. Like my marathon was 4 hours. 7 hours was, that is a long time. And it didn't feel that
Yeah.
long, but like looking back on it, it's like, dang, that was a long time to be running.
Right.
And I didn't get a crazy feeling of like, wow, I just did this thing either at the when I crossed the finish line. But I didn't feel as destroyed either after finishing this, which was interesting. I felt more destroyed after the marathon than the 50K. And I've recovered faster. I recovered in like 4 days. I felt like I could run again, which is really weird, but awesome.
Yeah, that's
But
great.
I do feel good, and I feel like I am an ultra marathoner now. Like, when you set out
Yeah,
to run
that's
an ultra
awesome.
marathon, you're like, I want to be able to say I'm an ultra marathoner, and I can say that now, and like that feels cool. I've ran an ultra marathon, and it was a really cool, it was an all day, it was like a half a day experience. It was so long and it was hard. And I highly
Yeah.
recommend it. I know folks listening to this, you've got your eyes set on the marathon, and you should. It's an amazing step, and man, it feels good. And if you're the type of person that really likes to push yourself distance, and you really like adventures and you like nature, I just highly recommend doing a 50K or some sort of ultra marathon in the natures, because it is a cool, challenging, and memorable experience.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, thank you for breaking down both of those experiences. It's cool to hear from like beginning to all the way up to reaching your goal finally. How you got to this point. So that was awesome. And normally at this point I ask, if you could give some advice to somebody who's running their first marathon, but for you, maybe if you could say give some advice for somebody who's looking to run their first ultra marathon, what advice would you give them?
Well, either way, y'all listening are probably looking at that marathon, and that's amazing. Dang, yeah. My advice would be to enjoy the process, because you'll run the race, and you may be the person that feels like, wow, I just did an amazing thing, and you may cry, and it may be a spiritual experience for you. And for some people, it's not. Like, I don't feel that way at the end. But I can tell you that I really enjoy running. And I think that's where the joy should be. Like, I enjoy going out and running and listening to my books and getting outside, and I want to keep it that way. I also recommend not like going hard all the time. If you feel like you're burning out, don't sign up for a race yet and take it easy. Like right now, I'm not going to sign up for a race. I just finished a really long training block, and I'm going to take it easy and just have some fun on the trails. And then I'll probably do a 50 miler because you get the bug,
Why not?
sometimes. Yep. So, but that's my advice. Enjoy the process.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thank you again for walking through your experiences. And if anybody wants to follow along with you, we already plugged the podcast, but I'll say it again. Ordinary to Ultra, go check it out. That's Brendan's podcast where he interviews runners just like we do on this podcast. But if anybody wants to find you for your personal journey, where can they find you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm not super present on social media, except for I'd follow the podcast, and I have a Facebook group also called Ordinary to Ultra, and you can check that out and join. You don't have to have run an ultra or even be training for one. You can just join and see what other people are doing, and yeah, maybe it'll inspire you to get into it. But I do post there sort of regularly, so
Absolutely. All right, great. Well, thanks again. And we'll definitely stay in touch. I appreciate it.
yeah, thanks for having me, Taylor. Super fun.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode. If you're enjoying My First Marathon, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review the show. And if you or someone you know has ran a marathon and would like to share your story, I have a guest form to fill out in my bio on Instagram. That username is @MyFirstMarathonPod. See you on the next one.